I was a liar. I was a cheater. I was an addict. And so I lost my family. Probably the third time in my life I'd lost everything.
Oh, man.
Love Gangster with Adrian Boysell.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Love Gangster. I've got another special guest for you today. We're going to get deep into a conversation with a man who I think is an amazing man who's gone through the fires of life, through relationships, through his business, and he actually has a new company I want to share with you guys today, but a fellow Love Gangster, somebody that's actually pouring out a lot of good stuff into the community, online and offline, and I'm hoping to have a deeper conversation with him, learn a little bit about his life, and hopefully share that with you guys to give you some breakthroughs, some of the perspectives that he's learned and what he's doing personally and professionally. So with that all being said, let's go ahead and jump right into the interview with Eric Rogers.
What's up, brother? Thank you, brother, for having me.
Heck yeah, man. Good to see you, dude.
You too, man.
So, we've been connected for a few years now, and I've watched, I think it's been like 2 years, and I've watched your journey and some of the photos, before and after photos that you've shared of your life and the transformation of being the freaking beast that you are today to what you shared when you had the picture of your kid with the orange like construction shirt on. So
it was 6 years ago.
Wow, six years ago. So kind of let's backtrack for those that haven't seen that picture and kind of give us a run through of what did your life look like then and who were you at that time?
Yeah, well, I thought I was the best, as is a truth. And it's funny how blind we are to our own selves. Yeah. But, you know, I was a hardworking guy. I had a good career. I was an electrician. I ran 30-man crews.
Wow.
Did that for 6 years. And, you know, I worked hard, came home, provided for the family. Wife was a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought I was running it. But in the inside, I was dying, you know.
Wow.
And I believe that a lot of men out there are, you know, they're taking on that identity as, hey, I'm a provider, I'm a protector, and hey, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But I was neglecting my family, I was drinking every day, and I was an addict.
Wow.
And I mean, that stirs up all sorts of problems, but the biggest problem being identity and not really understanding who I am, it kills a man. It creates chaos in his mind. And so about 6 years ago, one day I woke up to my wife with her bags packed, and she's like, I don't want to ever see you again. Wow. It wasn't just a, you know, hey, I'm leaving or I want to leave. It was, I'm done. They moved states. You can't see your son anymore. And I'm sitting there like, wait, what did you find out, right? Yeah. What happened? And, you know, I was a liar. I was a cheater. I was an addict. Mm-hmm. And full honesty, she found those things out and she knew them, but I just kept working, grinding, right?
Yep.
And so I lost my family. And it was probably the third time in my life I'd lost everything.
Wow.
And didn't learn my lesson. Mm-hmm. And so I spent the next four months of my life drinking even more, going back into the harder drugs that I used to as a kid.
Like depressed and stuff.
Super depressed and just like, you know, putting my armor on to get through the days and being the tough guy at work, coming home and crying myself to sleep. And 4 months of that, I almost losing my job because I was waking up late and wasn't being responsible. I mean, I didn't have a family anymore. So I'm just in this little apartment, depressed, nothing but, you know, myself, my drugs and my alcohol. And, you know, I hated myself at the moment. So 4 months later, and I'm sitting at the edge of my bed with a handle of black velvet. I don't know if you've had black velvet.
Yeah.
It's like 10 bucks for a handle, for a gallon. It's crazy. And I drink like a half one of those a night.
Oh, man.
And I had a Glock 23 in my other hand, and I stuck it in my mouth and sobbing and slobbering all over myself, knowing, and the biggest thing that hurt is knowing that I didn't have anyone to call. And nobody was going to find me but my neighbor. I had no one to leave a note for. And at that moment in my life, I was like, everything sucks. Everything I fucking touch falls apart. Nobody loves me. Mm-hmm. All these victimhood things that anyone would say. But in that moment, it feels right. It's like, it's true.
Yeah.
And but I wasn't putting the ownership on myself. Mm. I was just saying, this is life.
Yeah.
And this is the cards I've been dealt. And so as I'm pulling the trigger, I had a vision, dude. It wasn't a good one. It was a kind of vision where I saw, you know, my son calling another man dad, you know, and my wife being loved by another man. And it was enough jealousy and like self-pity to pull the gun out of my mouth. And you know what, I went to bed, and I remember laying in bed saying, I'm going to change. And I remember feeling the presence of God in that room that night.
Wow.
And it was the first time in my life I had said, this is my fault. Everything that I had done in the past to get me here, I did that. It is no one else's fault. It's the first time in my life I ever said that.
Wow.
And then
took ownership of it.
Yeah, such a strong word, dude. A strong word. And I said, if I change what I'm doing now, I can change my future. And so my motto, my tagline used to be, I am that motherfucker. And that was because I was going to be the guy that my son called dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be the man that loved my wife. And she called her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to work. I woke up the next day different. Just with a motivation. Like,
just
dude, that
decision.
That was like, my life is screwed up. It's my fault. I carried on that mindset. Luckily, I didn't wake up and was like, yeah, screw it. Let's do this again.
Mm-hmm.
Most people did, and I did that most of my life, right? But this time was different. I took ownership. And as soon as I did that, I woke up and I at least had the mindset that something has to change. And I didn't call my wife and say, I'm going to change. I just did the work, bro.
Mm-hmm.
For 6 months straight, I eased my way into it, but I started learning habits that would help me. Number one is fitness. I was 135 pounds, bro. 6 years ago, I'm 135 pounds. I've put on 95 pounds since then.
Wow.
Of muscle. I still got abs. I never lost them. Right?
There you go.
That turned into my new addiction.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I had genetic potential until I started, stopped doing drugs and started eating food and working out. And I'm like, okay, this is working.
Yep.
So I added in nutrition and I cleaned that up. Started eating like 6 meals a day. And then I started waking up earlier and reading the Bible.
Wow.
You know, finding things to be grateful for, reading books, all the little habits that I do to this day, eight non-negotiables that I live by.
That's right.
And over 6 months, bro, I changed my life. Like I started getting raises at work, promotions. I'm like, dude, I'm killing it. Like I'm driven. This is crazy.
Yeah.
I had a superpower, discipline. And with that, I mean, comes results, and with results comes belief, and with belief comes confidence, right? And so I just kept moving forward. I actually moved out of my apartment. I lived in in one of my church buddies' house. I started going to church, first of all, which was huge.
Yeah.
And really, the reason why is I wanted to go and surround myself with guys that didn't go through so much trauma as a child, that lived normal lives. And I wanted to learn them. I wanted to understand them. So I did my studying. I'm like, ask them questions. How do you deal with this? How do you deal with that?
Yeah.
One thing I realized, though, is like, I didn't want to be like them.
Yeah.
I couldn't be normal, bro. There's nothing in my mind that's normal, although I can learn from them in certain ways.
For
so
sure.
I ended up asking one of the guys, I'm like, hey, can I live with you? And he's like, I got a downstairs basement. Like, you know, there's a bunch of stuff in there, but you can find a place to sleep.
Right.
I said, I just need the accountability. Just make sure I don't bring any alcohol, any drugs, any girls, and I just sleep. You know, I'll work all day, I'll go to the gym, I'll come home, I'll come here and sleep.
Wow.
And he's like, let's do it. So I spent like 4 months living there, working on myself, living off the bare necessities, just learning how to step again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had the routine, the accountability, the dedication, God. And 6 months later, I called her and I told her who I was. I was like, this is who I am, this is what I did. This is who I used to be. I'm sorry for that. And she's like, I want you back. And so I became that motherfucker.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And so I built a system based off of that, bro. Uh-huh. Like, if you have a vision, you know exactly what you want.
That's right.
You reverse engineer that into day-to-day tasks to get there, and you're consistent. You change the mindset to align with that, that vision, and then you have accountability. You can become whoever you want. You can complete and accomplish anything you want.
So there's a few things here to unpack that I think are really, really valuable. The first one is that what I see and what I'm hearing that you did is you reprogrammed yourself.
Yes, sir.
Right, because
absolutely,
our childhoods, our lives, and things that happen to us in our younger years that we can't control, right? We don't control the circumstances in our lives when we're children, right? A lot of things happen to us physically, verbally, emotionally, sexually, all that stuff, right? We have all that trauma. And then you take into consideration some of the generational trauma, right, that goes back to fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. I think it goes back 4 generations, right, that we're carrying from one generation to the next that's not our own, right? So you take those two combinations. which if we look at us as the Matrix, which some people do, and you take that in consideration as we are a program or we are a computer, or we are a code, right, ones and zeros, then the things that happen to us in our childhood and our life and things that we're carrying in are viruses, right? And so we have to reprogram and have an antivirus. And from what I've found, whether it's the Lord's Prayer, worship, quiet time with God, there's nothing that will reprogram you and nothing that will rewire you, your genetic DNA, and heal you and remove the viruses like God.
100%.
As a foundation. Whatever you want to put, whatever title, whether you call it Jesus or whatever labels that we want to use with our human minds, but nothing will be as powerful as God in your life and making that your number one focus and priority. And that's what has drawn me to you, but also it's been beyond that, because there's a lot of people in our world, and I want to make sure I share this, there's a lot of people in our entrepreneur online communities, marketers, coaches, consultants, there's so many of them that use God as a shield or as a barrier to keep people from seeing who they truly are, right?
That's powerful.
And to see that they're not actually walking with God. They're just using God as a marketing piece,
correct,
to be honest.
Yes.
And that feels gross, because that's not what God is supposed to be about. That's not how we're supposed to use our relationship with God. Like, I challenge people all the time, like, do you actually have a relationship with God? Is there fruit showing in your life? And obviously when we are, and somebody was just talking about this earlier, like, you ask for challenges and God's going to give you those challenges, right? And you're like, why are you doing this to me? And it's like, dude, you freaking asked for this, right? And so I'm really proud and really excited for you, the fact that you had that discipline and courage to be able to make that decision at that lowest point. Because I had the same lowest point in 2022 when I went through a family crisis, and I didn't actually pull the gun out, but I had that thought. And because my faith is so rooted, I believe this has happened. God saved me in that moment. And he was like, those are not your thoughts. And I had never realized at all throughout my entire life that some of the thoughts that I'd had, whether to do wrong things or to look at wrong things or to say something wrong to somebody or to act wrong towards somebody, I never realized that some of those things were not my own.
Right.
And he was like, those are not your thoughts. And I was like, well, whose thoughts are they? If my thoughts are not my own, like who? And the Bible verse came to me of holding your thoughts captive.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. And started to see all these other patterns and things in my life where I had even used God to shield me from facing the truth and facing the reality that I was not the man that I needed to be.
Correct.
And it was in 2022 where I was finally able to, like, not just become the man I was always meant to be, but to put myself into a plant medicine retreat and to show up for people in a way that I never realized I was even capable of. Like, the amount of weight I've carried and people that I've lifted up with me in my journey as an entrepreneur, like, you get confidence and, you know, that you get praise and things like that, which is cool, but to show up for somebody who can do nothing for you, that isn't business related, right? That there's no ulterior motives, like that, all that's stripped away, and to be able to just show up for somebody and, like, be there for not just one person, but a whole room full of people, and they're all like, dude, I wouldn't have made it out of this if it wasn't for you. Like, that changes you. And so there was, like, a confidence that happened that wasn't an ego. It was like, I am who God says I am.
Right.
It was like, finally my identity became as clear as he's been trying to show me. And then he was like, you need to transform your inner strength to your outer strength and show that physically. And so I found your physique and your dedication and discipline to fitness, that was the thing that was like the sticky part of it. It was like, you caught my attention with the faith thing, but then you stuck me with the discipline and the fitness stuff. And so then everything you've had to say, or say the majority of things you've had to say, I'm like, all right, this is a love warrior right here. This is a freaking love gangster, you know what I mean? So that's why you're here in this interview with me. And number four is, like, I'm super excited to hear more about not just where you've been, and I think we could dive a little bit more into that, but what was the transitionary part for you creating the Immortal Man, and then where are you planning on going with this whole thing?
Yeah, so the transition, I believe that every man has to take the initial step before God can really start to make his way into your life. Like, and maybe that's wrong. I'm sure God can just take over in certain
you
extents.
You have to make a decision, though.
But you have to make, like, what did Jesus, every time he healed someone, he asked them, do you want to be healed first, right?
That's right.
And they had to say yes, they had to agree to it before he did any work. And so I didn't even know what the word healing meant until I started to go, okay, I need healing. Mm-hmm. And I seeked it in the world for a long time. Mm-hmm. The first 4 years of that was me going, it was self-development, self-discipline. It was me, 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 me. And I'm not saying that stuff doesn't work, because it did.
Yeah.
but it didn't solve the root issue that our hearts are wicked. Bro, in the end, like, every man's heart is wicked. It says clearly in the Bible that the only thing that can change that is God. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, I didn't understand truly what, like, unconditional love was until God came into my heart and changed certain things. And that's why now, like, 2 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, I want to be a millionaire. And I want to, like, I want this world, this material world with this material title. And now I'm just like, whatever your will is, Lord, let it be done. Mm-hmm. And if that is little, I will do, that is enough. You know, and that's a crazy place to be, dude.
To be enough. Yeah, because we have this toxic performance mentality as entrepreneurs, right?
Amen.
And when you carry that into your faith and you think you have to start performing for God in some way, that's where religions and prosperity gospels and evangelicals and all that stuff, it becomes very culty. And it's like, then you lose the relationship in that.
Totally. And but God is good because he'll put a thorn in your flesh. He'll humble you. And I'm grateful that he did, because I see a lot of people, you know, they get a thorn in their flesh, they'll put a temporary Band-Aid on it, and they'll keep pushing. And, like, there's a point where God just says, okay, go. Like, do your thing. Become this great thing. And be godless. And like you said, they'll use it as a shield. But in the end, like, you get to these high places, which is great. It takes a lot of hard work. And I look up to people like that. I respect them. But you also have this platform now to speak the truth about God. And if you hadn't made him the center of your life throughout this whole growth method or whatever, this path that you've been on, then you're definitely not going to when you get to the top. And what happens when God tells you to give it all away? You know what I mean?
Then
you're like, yeah, no, that's, it's mine.
Yeah, for what is it for the man to gain the world but to lose his soul?
100%,
right? And so many people are chasing that money, and it feels cheesy and it feels inauthentic, and like, people have that sixth sense. They can feel that. And it's like, I think these people go around thinking that people are totally fooled. And maybe some are, but the people like yourself and myself that are seeing that kind of stuff, like, we know the difference between people who are really walking it out and who are who have a relationship with Jesus, and the ones that are just using that as a way to try to attract people and get business from them and make people. I think the thing is, like, they want people to trust them. So they think, oh, if I tell them I'm a Christian, then they're going to trust me.
Yeah, and I was there at a point. I was making really good money. I was a Christian, but I wasn't a doer of the word, you know. And, like, I wasn't born again. That happened 2 years ago, and that was the transition in my life. God put a thorn in my flesh, dude. And I relapsed, and it was a hard moment in my life. I didn't just relapse. I lost everything again. And it was almost like this spiritual attack, like, but God allowed it. And, like, I couldn't make money anymore. Like, my money went away. I lost all my money. And it wasn't because of bad like, of course, there was an initial bad decision. But God, all it was, now that I look at it, was God was redirecting me into who I am now. And so he had to say, like, you have to give it all up.
That's right.
And he didn't give me a choice either.
You don't give us a choice.
He didn't give me a choice. He's like, this is your purpose. Like, that's the coolest thing about God's will is you can fight it all you want, dude.
That's right. You either surrender to it, right? Just like I had to do when I was in my plant medicine retreat. It was like, okay, surrender is the way out of this. This is the only way I can do this, is I got to surrender and just trust the process. Those are the two things that went through my mind, is surrender and trust the process. Surrender and trust the process, and reminding myself of that all throughout the thing, because there was a couple moments where I was like, I just want to be out of here. I want to be done with this, right? Because I'm a super square bear, don't drink, don't do drugs, like, not into that kind of stuff typically, but I needed healing, and I needed healing in a way with brothers in a community, and I had to just listen to that quiet voice inside of me. And when I took the step, and I connected with this guy, Joey House, who had taught me breath work and Wim Hof and cold water immersion and all that, and he's like, hey, we're doing a men's retreat called Way of the Warrior. I started hearing about it, and I'm like, just something was calling to me, and I was like, I'm supposed to go to this.
Okay.
And it just was so, gave up caffeine, gave up any kind of, because I've had issues over the years of, like, looking at like boudoir photography and things like that, like images on Reddit,
right,
and going down that rabbit hole. I, like, gave all that up a year ago, and that's when I started putting on weight. Like, things just really, like, I was already doing great. I was in a great spot, but it was, like, better than I could have even ever anticipated, just giving up those two things. Like, I went from 148 to 177 is what I weighed myself at this morning, right, in a year, last April. So it's like, just good is the enemy of great, right? I was doing good, but I wasn't doing great.
Right.
And I didn't even realize. I thought that was the peak of it for myself.
Yeah, I believe discipline is obedience to God. right?
That's right.
That's why they were called disciples. Like I look at Jesus, and this is really what helped me get real disciplined. I looked at Jesus as one of the most disciplined men to ever walk the earth.
Yep.
Obviously, you could be disciplined in the world, you could be disciplined in God, but when you feel conviction of something, like God's telling you to let something go or pick something up, and you listen to that, you know, you may go through a lot of temptations and trials for a while, but there's a test that you're passing.
That's right.
And there's blessings on the other side. Like, there's promises.
Oh, yeah.
When you're obedient to God.
For sure.
And it's the process of sanctification. And I am now in my life like, dude, I'm so glad that I went through all this struggle. And I got on my knees every day. Like, I had knee sores from praying. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Been there. Like, been there on the bathroom wood floor.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, I don't got anything else. Like, God was like, nope, you can't have anything else. Took everything from me.
Wow.
And I turned to Him, and I realized that I had been walking this path. And people need to hear this, because I was doing really good in life. Mm-hmm. I was doing good in life. I was doing the disciplined, fitness, self-development way. I was doing good in life, but I wasn't doing God. And so it didn't work. It may feel like it's gonna work, but I was always empty inside. I was empty, I was unfulfilled, I felt insignificant. Like there was a hole in the cup and it couldn't be filled.
Wow.
And so I started going to God, and He ripped everything from me so that I had no choice but to go to Him. And that's when the immortal man was built.
Huh.
That's when this I switched from being a fitness self-development guru to running a ministry. Mm-hmm. And saying, no, that stuff, it matters, but it's secondary.
That's right.
Secondary to this.
Yep.
And I realized my entire life, the missing link in my life, my whole childhood and as an adult, was that I didn't have leadership in my life. I didn't have godly, Christ-centered leadership in my life. Right. And the ones that I did have as a kid, I was molested in a church at 7, bro. In a church.
Wow.
And people ask me, like, how are you a Christian? How do you even go to church? How do you? And I'm like, dude, you guys go to church expecting humans to be perfect. That's
straight
the problem.
Up. That's right.
Like, go to church That's expecting right. God to be perfect, and you'll never be disappointed. Stop following Christians. Follow Christ.
Amen.
And I've been able to preach that message a lot.
That's
and
great.
Get people to go back to church and get into community, because men are isolated.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And they need to hear that, hey, things happen, bro. Grow up. Like,
yeah,
you need fellowship.
So you said something, and while you were talking, I kind of got a little word about community that I think is going to parlay into the future of what you're doing with Immortal Man. So it'll tie in perfectly with this conversation. How much of your success and breakthrough that you had during the last 5-6 years and your whole walk with Christ and everything changing, how much of that had to do with proximity of the people that you had?
Everything. I mean, we could just talk about business for a second.
Yeah.
I was a blue-collar worker my entire life. I started my first weed-eating business at like 13, and I became like a laborer. I built fireplaces, construction, electrician. So it came to business. First of all, I didn't know what to do. So the first thing I did within the first 2 weeks of starting my business, I got a coach. And I was able to replace what I was making as an electrician as a business owner in a matter of a month. So boom, right there, I learned right off the bat that you need mentorship, you need a blueprint, and you need accountability to get there. And so I've applied that to every area of my life. My fitness, I've always had a bodybuilding coach.
Oh, nice.
My faith, I've always had a spiritual leader in my life. Like, I go to multiple Bible studies a week. If I'm just the guy hosting them, yeah, and leading them, which we do one every Tuesday, where am I getting my cup filled?
That's right.
We all need leadership in our life, every yep. single man. And if you're not open to following, you're never going to be a good leader.
That's right.
Right?
Well, you used the word, you said it, you felt insignificant. And I have a talk that I do. It's the Titan Talk, I call it. And my mentor, Larry, who I mentioned to you when you first came in here, is one of the Titans that was in my life. He was the first kind of real 6'4" prison guard, just shredded, just a beast of a human being, but also got one of the kindest and gentlest hearts of anybody I know, and he totally transformed my whole life. Like, starting my business, go open up this, stop doing this, like, just he gave me a lot of guidance in my life. And I talk in my signature talk that I do, the very beginning of it starts with, I was the smallest kid in my whole school. And I was so small, in fact, the kids thought I was in the sixth grade in my freshman year of high school. And I never felt so small and insignificant in my whole life. And that's a powerful word, that insignificant word.
It is.
And it wasn't until I hung around with people like Larry and started putting myself in proximity with what I consider titans, right? Mentors, coaches, you know, other people who are doing and have the life that I want to have. That's when everything just started to radically change, right? Mm. It's just being in proximity with that. So I'm guessing, just from the direction that things are going and from what I know about you, that's kind of why you've adopted now the Immortal Man as your ministry and as your business,
right?
And you're doing what you're doing with men. So
yeah,
kind of catch us up with what you're doing now and where you're going with it.
Yeah, so within the Immortal Man company, we have a program called the Immortal Brotherhood. And it's just that. It's a place of high standard for men. It is. I mean, our mission is to develop men into Christ-like leaders so that by unlocking their God-given potential. Mm. And one of the things I realized is when I started to get my life together is my standard was my standard. Mm-hmm. So how was I going to be held up to a higher standard without being in proximity with other people?
That's right.
And you just can't. Like, you're always going to justify and make excuses. You're always going to find a way to reach your standard.
That's right.
And so when you're in proximity with guys with high standards and rules and structure, mm-hmm. and you're forced to be that man, well, guess what? You're going to come out a different person.
That's
and
true.
So the Immortal Brotherhood is not just a community of high standard men that understand you, love God, building their families, becoming better leaders, but we also have a structure. And we're one of the only programs in the world that forces our clients to do the work. And so, and I believe that's important because, I mean, I've spent a lot of money on coaching programs and stuff like that. And they have good plans sometimes, mm-hmm. but there's no accountability. It's like, oh, you're not doing your work. Just do better next week. It's like, no. When one of our clients slips, we have 8 non-negotiables. We have to do all these things. Every time you slip on something, it counts as a certain amount of burpees.
Nice.
And in your small group, we add that number up each week, and everyone has to pay for each other's slip-ups. It's called an atonement, similar to what Jesus did on the cross for us.
Right. That's right.
And so we use biblical principles to create Christ-like leaders.
Wow.
Right? And it's about taking ownership. It's about, you know, it's about suffering for your brother. It's about being your brother's keeper. And it's bulletproof.
That's neat, dude. So you got the Brotherhood, and then what else are you doing?
We got a Bible study that we're running.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
So we do that every Tuesday. That's completely free online for any man that is interested.
Oh, very cool.
You know, I'm sure you could put that on your notes as well.
What time?
5 p.m. Pacific.
Nice. Perfect.
Yeah, anywhere in the world, anyone can join.
How cool. That's huge.
Yeah.
And then what about somebody that's listening to this or like, dude, I want to work with this guy. How do they go about doing that?
Come. First, you could hit me up on any social media, which is whatever.
Cool.
The Real Eric Rogers on every platform.
Perfect.
Or you can go to our application page, or come check out the Bible study, which is go.theimmortalman.com/Bible study.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We'll put the link down in the description.
Yeah, you can book a call through that and come talk to me.
So what does the future look like then for the Immortal Man? What is your big picture vision for all of this?
My big picture vision is to build 100 churches around the world in places where they're most needed. One of the things I realized when I lived in Nevada is there's not a lot of churches. You go to California, there's one on every corner.
That's right.
There's a Chinese church, they're everywhere.
That's
like,
right.
But you go to Nevada, dude, and there's strip clubs everywhere, mm-hmm. and there's no churches. And so I kind of got this idea in my head when I lived in Reno and I joined a church. It was a foundation called Acts 29. And I just love what they're doing. They're spreading the gospel, building small churches in places where they're needed, not massive mega churches, but small. And that's so important.
Dude. It is.
So like that's the end goal, is to spread the word, and not just that, to build the leadership inside of those based off the Immortal Man's our principles, and to also put men in high places that have these standards that we live by, because mm-hmm. the one thing that this country is lacking, the reason why it's broken, is because there's corruption, there's no accountability, and those are the things that we fight against when we are men of God.
That's right.
And so to put more people in the right places as well.
Yeah, it reminds me of Sean Whalen. I went to his mastermind event that he did at his place in Utah, and someone was like, how do I get more accountability for this, this, and that? And he's like, accountability? He's like, what do you need accountability for? Just do the F, what the F you say you're going to do. And I was like, I mean, I can see how that works for some people, but right. some people need that brother, they need that sister, they need that person to come up alongside them
yeah.
and be like, you got this,
Absolutely.
Right? And that's where that significance comes from, and they can tarnish the, and get rid of and speak against the insignificance of what we think about our identities.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
If we wait till we're 40 to have the discipline that we need, because we've been through enough, like Sean.
Yeah.
Then we're gonna have a failed society. Like, we need to teach these guys young.
Much, much
younger. The second that you decide, hey, I wanna become a better man, mm-hmm. join something like this and become that person.
Yep.
Like I said, reprogram yourself, like I was talking earlier.
Yep.
I mean, 12 weeks of doing 8 non-negotiables, no matter what, every single day, is going to change you. On top of that, learning the things that we teach you and applying it to your life is gonna change everyone around you.
Interesting. So if you can, look at that camera on the right. And let us know, what are the 8 non-negotiables?
Okay, I have to remember them.
I live by them. Right? So, exactly.
Number one is we wake up without a snooze. Every single day you get to pick what time that is. We post on social media one time a day. No porn, no alcohol, no drugs, no cheat meals. You have to do a 30-minute workout of your choice. You have to do you have to follow a diet of your choice. And you have to read either a chapter of the Bible a day or 15 pages of a book of your choice. And the 8th one you get to choose. Did I say 8? I believe
I said 7 or 8. Yeah, okay.
Oh, no. Maybe I did.
If
I missed
one.
That was good. Yeah, the 8th one you get to choose. And this is going to be a choice of yours, whether it's going to be focused on your family, your business, finances, wherever you're lacking, you need to see growth. A non-negotiable that's repeatable and measurable that you can do every single day.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's not insanely hard. It's something you can do every day for the rest of your life. It's not overbearing.
Yeah.
But little things like that.
Those are simple things.
Simple things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are definitely doable. One of my old coaches, James, he was like, how many of you guys could read a page in the morning, every single morning, one page? And they're like, yeah, okay. How many of you guys could probably go home and read one more page in the night? How many of you are capable of doing that? And like pretty much everybody raised their hand. He's like, cool. You realize that if you guys all did that every single day, you'd be able to read at least one or two books a year. How many of you guys are reading one or two books a year? And like, you know, very few people raise their hand. It's just like those small daily wins of just like, dude, a page a day. Like, it sounds like nothing, but
right. Even
if you're just to take up one page a day or one chapter or whatever that is, it makes a dramatic, that compound effect that happens day after day after day. It doesn't look like a lot, but if you do one page a day times 365 days, that's an average book, mm-hmm. right? And so it makes a big difference. That's just one page a day. And then if you double it or triple it, you know.
Yeah, you're reading 2 books a day if you're doing like 15 pages. Or sorry,
go.
2 a month.
2 books a month,
But
yeah.
People underestimate the significance in non-negotiables, because what it does, I mean, to benefit you, is it makes you more valuable,
mm-hmm.
right? You're reading, you're working out, you're learning how to solve problems by solving the biggest problem in your life, which is yourself. And all successes, as far as business goes, mm-hmm. and making money, is learning how to solve problems, right? And the bigger problem you can solve, the more people you can help, the more people you can help, the more money you can make, and so forth. Plus your kids get to see an example growing up, and you guys all know the value of that.
That's right. So I do something that's different on this show that I've ever done on anything I've created. I like to challenge people, like I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
And so I started off by, I came up with the first challenge, and then I handed it off to Jordan, and then I handed it off to my wife last time. So I want to do the same challenge with you, is what is one thing that somebody can go out and do today to become a love gangster? What's some sort of act of kindness, some sort of move they can make, action they can take, statement they can make, like whether it's speaking over somebody, donating to something? What is one thing that you would love to see for the people that are listening and watching this episode? What is your challenge for them?
I think this just came to mind, and it may not be something that helps somebody today, but I think it's something that can help people for the rest of your life in big ways. Is take a second and write down every resource, every skill, every dollar, like how much money you have and assets, how much time you have, and just take an inventory of everything that you have, your time, your resources, your money, your skills, your gifts, and ask God, get on your knees and ask God how he can use that, how you can use that to further his kingdom, help help his people, be a good steward of his people, and serve him. Because a lot of us have more than we think, and we don't take inventory of it. Wow. And when we do realize that we are more, we're blessed beyond measure, mm-hmm. then if we ask God what we can do with that, you'd be surprised how many, number one, how many people you can help. Number two is how much more God will give you if that is where your heart is at.
That's powerful. I mean, I think about the discipleship model that I learned a few years back, which is a triangle, and it's up, out, and in. Mm. And you have to have time up, right, with the Father. That's why I say keep looking up. You have to have time with yourself, right? That's the inward, your inner world, and then the outer world of all the relationships and the people that you have in your life. And having the balance of those three, what most people struggle with is they don't have the time with God. Right. And they don't have the time with themselves, and they're usually just pouring themselves out to other people. And so their thing is way off balance. And so I like that, is being able to take that right down your list. That'll make you feel more significant. It'll show you how far you've actually come, and the things you've learned, the things you've accomplished and done. I had somebody do that for me recently, to tell me to write, make a list, make a list of everything that you've learned while you've been an agency owner. And I just started writing it down on a piece of yellow paper, like kids craft yellow paper with a marker. And I wrote 67 things down in like 30 minutes.
Wow.
And I looked at that list, it was two sides. I filled in both sides and I was writing pretty small. And I was just like, whoa, how to win a legal battle, how to lose a legal battle, yeah. Like all the different things, right? And so you realize how much you've done when you do an activity like that. So what I like about that challenge is it's more about them and connecting with God versus like them going out and serving somebody, which I think is powerful. Like, you need to serve yourself too. So that's an important balance, yeah. Is inside of being a love gangster, is like, if you're just constantly pouring out to other people and you're not filling your own cup back up,
yeah,
that's a problem.
It's true, man. I think that we all have more than we see, and mm-hmm. to take the second to take inventory of our lives and where we're at and yeah. the things that we do have, I believe we can get better at building up that so that we can give more of it out.
That's right.
More effectively.
Wow. Well, I feel as if we could probably talk for another hour, but I keep a certain amount of time on these shows and episodes. We're going to have to do a second one because I want to have another conversation down the road, whether it's in a week, a month, 6 months from now, hopefully sooner than later, about marriage and families, a little more on that side of things too, because I think there's something we talked about on social media from your post of like, being friends, having friendship is in your marriage. So we'll save that for another date, so you guys have to come back and listen to that. But I'm very grateful and very excited that came out and
thank
did
you.
This with me, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And then if they want to reach out to you again, your website is
go.theimmortalman.com/Bible study. And then you can also book a call through that page as
perfect
well at the bottom.
So if you need help, ask. That's the biggest thing. The first step you got to do is ask for help. One of my mentors said, ask for help or give up on your vision. That was Nicholas Baerle, actually. So okay. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys on the next episode. I'm Adrian Boysell, and as always, keep looking up.